ஜமனந்தியாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலாஜலா Pantakopadubhyascha Kripasindhuvaivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So in the 20th chapter, in the opening verses, we're up to text 14. In the previous verses, Bali Maharaj begins to reply to Sukracharya's arguments. Sukracharya warned Bali Maharaj, be careful. This dwarf Brahmachari is Vishnu. He's going to take everything from you in the guise of his begging 3 steps of land. Somehow get out of your promise. Somehow be relieved of the fact that you said, I shall give you anything you want, because he will take everything. So Bali Maharaj thought, and we read these opening verses of this chapter in the last class. Bali Maharaj thought for a while and said, yes, there is truth in the fact that one shouldn't give charity to the degree that it endangers one's own material condition, situation. That's true, because that was the basic advice that Sukracharya was giving. And this is the basic thought of a pious materialist. I should be religious, I should give charity, but I should do it to such a degree that it's complementary to my material life. It's not as if that there is 2 things. One is black and one is white. One is the material life and one is the spiritual life. And the 2 can't coexist. One can't pour water on a fire and at the same time be igniting it. One can't engage in a comfortable material life and at the same time be developing deeply and inflaming one's spiritual life, because the two are opposed to each other. If one tries to put together, one will either be a materialist, seemingly like a spiritualist, or one will take one's material life and completely spiritualize it, even though it may look like an ordinary material life. But if the whole center of that material life is to satisfy Krishna, then it indeed is a spiritual life. The spiritual will spiritualize the material. And on the other hand, if one has a spiritual life but keeps oneself and one's comfort in the center, that materialism will materialize the spiritual life. The two, the materialism and spiritualism, cannot coexist for long until one side will win or the other side. So Bali Maharaj thought, and he said, yes, that is a correct principle. That was his spiritual master, Sukracharya, telling him, don't surrender to Vamanadev, to Vishnu. So he says, yes, that's correct. One shouldn't be extreme and endanger one's comfortable material life through giving charity. But on the other hand, he continues, how could I lie? I've already promised this Brahmana. Then he quotes Mother Earth saying that I can bear any heavy thing, but I cannot bear, tolerate the weight of even a liar. Bali Maharaj said, I don't fear going to hell, I don't fear this, I don't fear that, but I do fear lying to a Brahmana. And after all, I'm going to lose all these riches anyway. So, if to satisfy him, if in giving away my possessions, I satisfy him, if you're right, that he's Lord Vishnu and he's going to take everything, if I do satisfy him by giving him everything, I'm going to lose that everything in time anyway, and by death, so what's the loss? It continues. This is his discriminations. But actually, he's already made up his mind because he's a devotee. He wants to give everything to Lord Vamandev. He's going through some reasons, but the real reason is that he's a devotee. And it's the natural inclination of a devotee, or it's practically the definition of a devotee, to give up everything to please Krishna, because that's what it means to be a devotee, because Krishna's pleasure is in the center. Again, the opposite of materialism, where one's selfish self is the center. And then Bali Maharaj continues, there are so many instances in history of people for the benefit of others who've given their lives. I should also do that for the benefit of Lord Vishnu. And also, if by doing this I'll become famous, I'll become famous as a great charity giver, the one who gave everything in charity, did not keep anything for himself, so I'll become famous. And once my fame and reputation will outlast my body anyway. So that is also a way, a benefit. So he concluded in this way, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants for me. He's a little brahmachari. He's a dwarf. This again is showing that whatever form Krishna comes in, whatever form Krishna comes in, whether he comes as Varahadeva in the form of a boar, as a hog, or if he comes as a little dwarf brahmana, and we're going to see when as he's a dwarf brahmana, because a dwarf means little, diminutive, but he's going to expand so he covers the entire universe. Because whatever form he's in, it doesn't mean that he's not, doesn't have the unlimited potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bali Maharaj has said, this dwarf brahmana, who is actually Lord Vishnu, I'm going to give him whatever he wants. I'm going to request surrender to him. And there's also in the 11th verse, he says that you've taught me, O great sage, saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles, he's speaking to Sukracharya very respectfully, his spiritual master. You've taught me that the Vedic principles, the Vedic rituals, the yajnas, the sacrifices, they're all meant for the worship of Lord Vishnu, and that's the purpose of the Vedas, Vedas, Trasavar, Hamevavidyo. So here he is, Vishnu is here, you're saying. So if he's come to either benedict me or punish me, I don't care. I should still give it him what he wants. And what does he want? We'll find out. He's asked for 3 steps of land. Very interesting. He says, whether he's come to benedict me or punish me, I should still surrender and submit myself to him. Which has he done? Which has he come to do? Has he come to benedict Bali Maharaj or to punish him? Superficially, it's going to appear that he's come to punish him, because on behalf of the demigods, he's going to take everything away and send him to Sutala, to hell. So punishment, punishing the enemy of the demigods, because he was an asura. But actually, he's come to benedict him. He's come to take everything material from him, not exactly take, but give Bali Maharaj an opportunity to give him everything material, to give him everything he has, and then once he's bereft of material attachments, he's going to give himself in reciprocation. The Lord will give himself to his devotee who is akinchana, tam akinchana gochara, na eva arhati abhidattam tam, tam akinchana gochara. That Krishna is the property of those who do not value anything separate from him. Nothing in the material world has value separate from him. So Bali Maharaj will be giving everything, and he will gain more than everything. He will gain Lord Vamandev. So now, Bali Maharaj, text 14. Well, Sukhacharya, before Bali Maharaj will start to act. Text 14. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thereafter, the spiritual master, Sukhacharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, interesting that what he's doing as well, is inspired by the Supreme Lord. Krishna will inspire different souls differently according to who they are and what their desires are. Yayitam mam prapadyante. So inspired by the Supreme Lord, he cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. We'll read the next verse and then we'll read these two purports. So Sukracharya then cursed Bali Maharaj, and this is what he said. Although you have no knowledge, you have become a so-called learned person. And therefore, you dare be so impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. So he told him, now you're so intelligent. You're discriminating that I cannot tell a lie. I've told you that you should not surrender to him. And now you're so intelligent, you have your own mind and way of doing things, and you've decided to go against everything that I've said. Well, because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. And this was the plan of the Lord. Because when Aditi prayed to Lord Vamandev, or prayed and did the Payavrata, and the Lord came before her, he said that she wanted to get the kingdom of heaven back for her sons, the demigods, and the Lord said, no, I won't do it directly like that. Because the reason why Bali Maharaj is so powerful and he's gained all this power is because he is being blessed by the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, and I won't countervene their blessing. I won't go against their blessing, the blessing of the Brahmanas. But he will lose everything when he loses the blessing of his spiritual master and the Brahmins. So here, Vamandev incarnated to arrange a circumstance where he would lose those blessings of his spiritual master, Sukracharya. And here, he's just done it. Vamanadeva, by his sweet, charismatic, effulgent power, potency, attractiveness, he's attracted the heart of Bali Maharaj so much that Bali Maharaj agrees to give him everything, and Sukracharya then curses him, retracts, withdraws his blessings. Now read these two purports to 14 and 15. The difference between the behavior of Bali Maharaj and that of his spiritual master Sukracharya was that Bali Maharaj had already developed love of Godhead, where Sukracharya, being merely a priest of routine rituals, had not. Thus Sukracharya was never inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to develop in devotional service. Very interesting. Look what Sukracharya was inspired to do. He was inspired by whom? By Krishna, to curse Bali Maharaj. So sometimes different personalities, different people will get inspirations, and following their inspiration, they'll either do something wonderful or something horrible or something mediocre. So where are those inspirations coming from? People will trust their inspirations. Where are they coming from? They're coming from Krishna. But everything coming from Krishna is not Krishna's desire. In this case, of course, it's a pastime. So it's Krishna's desire that Sukracharya curse Bali Maharaj's disciple, so the pastime will go on. But it's not ultimately Krishna's desire that anyone do anything other than perform loving devotional service to him, although he will give so much inspiration to so many different people according to their desires. Yiyatamam prapadyante tamsta taiva bhajamyaham manusham. Yes, everyone is on Krishna's path. Everyone has no choice. And Krishna is reciprocating with everyone and giving them fruits of the path according to their desires. So some person will become a materialist, some person will become a great devotee, inspired to become a great devotee, some person will desire to do this, some person do that, some person will even desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence. This is Krishna reciprocating with everyone's desire, because we're all ultimately dependent on Krishna. So the art of Krishna consciousness is to make our desire so pristine and pure that there is no other trace, fragrance of a desire within our heart other than to please Him. And when we are like that, when we are rendering pure devotional service, then we will see. That's what Bali Maharaj has done. And we will see how Krishna reciprocates with that. He tests Bali Maharaj like anything, but ultimately he will give himself. And that's not that the devotee wants Krishna to give himself, but that's how Krishna reciprocates. Atma parjanta vadanyata. He gives himself to the devotee. Thus, Sukracharya was never inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to develop in devotional service, because he wasn't a devotee. That wasn't his desire. So he got different inspirations. He got the inspiration to curse Krishna's devotee for being a devotee, for surrendering. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhiyogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Devotees who actually engage in devotional service with faith and love are inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Bhajatam Priti Purvagam, to those who worship me with love and devotion, the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga, I give them the Buddhi Yoga by which they can come to me. Vaishnavas are never concerned with ritualistic smarta brahmanas. Srila Sanatana Goswami has therefore compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas to guide the Vaishnavas who never follow the smarta vidhi. Although the Supreme Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, unless one is a Vaishnava, unless one is engaged in devotional service, one does not get sound advice by which to return home back to Godhead. Such instructions are meant only for devotees. Therefore, in this verse, the word Devi Prahita, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, is important. Sukracharya should have encouraged Bali Maharaj to give everything to Lord Vishnu. This would have been a sign of love for the Supreme Lord, but he did not do so. On the contrary, he wanted to punish his devoted disciple by cursing him. And the Prabhupada's purport to the next verse. After the curse of Sukracharya, because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. Harishe tadanam sanai. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Bali Maharaj was not Pandita Mani. This is what Sukracharya says in the verse. Dridam Pandita Mani Agya. Your dridam means very fixed in your determination, fixed in your decision. Pandita Mani, considering yourself very learned. Agya, at the same time you are foolish, stubborn, the impudent. Why? Ashi asmaru pekchaya. You have disregarded, you have neglected me and what I've told you. Mat shasana atiga. You've surpassed the jurisdiction of my administration. You're thinking you're so intelligent, stubborn, obstinate, going against me. Surpassing my conclusions, and therefore, Ya Tvam, you yourself, Acharat, very soon, Brayashe, will fall down Sriya from all your opulence. You'll lose it all. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Pali Maharaj was not Pandita Mani, or one who falsely assumes himself learned. Rather, he was Pandita Manyagya, one who is so learned that all other learned persons worship him. And because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his so-called spiritual master. He had no fear of any condition of material existence. Anyone cared for by Lord Vishnu does not need to care about anyone else. Thus, Bali Maharaj could never be bereft of all opulences. The opulences offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not to be compared to the opulences obtained by Karmakanda. In other words, if a devotee becomes very opulent, it is to be understood that his opulence is a gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence will never be vanquished, whereas the opulence achieved by one's fruit of activity will be vanquished at any moment, may be vanquished at any moment. So his surrendering to Krishna made him the greatest of learned persons and truly wise. And such a person who is so learned, who knows the conclusion of everything, he's not required to please anyone else. So, cursed by his spiritual master, Sukracharya. Sukadeva Goswami then continued, even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. Therefore, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamanadeva and then offered him the gift of land he had promised. Bali Maharaj's wife, known as Vindyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water, with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet. Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamandev, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head. For that water delivers the entire universe, because that water, the water that washes the Lord's lotus feet, is the worship of Ganga. Raise your hand if you've ever taken a bath in the Ganga. Is there anyone not taking a bath in the Ganga? You're so unfortunate that the bridge didn't collapse and your bus didn't go in the Ganga. We should bring you some Ganga water. Have you ever drunk some Ganga water? Okay. So you've not been in the Ganga, but the Ganga's been in you. So that's good. It's the water that has washed the Lord's lotus feet. At that time, when he's officially took the water from the Lord's lotus feet upon his head, symbolic of his surrender and giving in charity, at that time, the residents of the higher planetary system, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, the Siddhas and the Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaj's simple non-duplicitous act, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers. Purport. Arjavam, simplicity or freedom from duplicity, is a qualification of a Brahmin and a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava automatically acquires all the qualities of a Brahmana. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavati kinchana savar gunastatra samaste sura. A Vaishnava should possess the Brahminical qualities such as satyam samadama tatikshan arjava. There cannot be any duplicity in the character of a Vaishnava. When Bali Maharaj acted with unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, this was very much appreciated by all the residents of the higher planetary system. Text 20. The Gandharvas, the Kimpurushas and Kanaras sounded thousands and thousands of kettle drums and trumpets again and again. And they sang in great jubilation, declaring how exalted a person is Bali Maharaj, and what a difficult task he has performed. Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire three worlds in charity. And how did Lord Vamandev react? What did he do next? He's been given everything, and now what will he do? There's a few purports, but we'll meet to the end of the chapter here of how Lord Vamandev accepted the charity of Bali Maharaj. The unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of the material energy, until everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, the planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary systems, such as Vasatala, on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. He saw on the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, on the surface of his calves, all the mountains, on his knees the various birds, and on his thighs the varieties of air. Bali Maharaj saw beneath the garments of the Lord, who acts wonderfully, the evening twilight. In the Lord's private parts, he saw the Prajapatis, and in the round portion of the waist, he saw himself with his confidential associates. In the Lord's navel, he saw the sky. On the Lord's waist, he saw the seven oceans. And on the Lord's bosom, he saw all the clusters of stars. My dear King, on the heart of Lord Murari, he saw religion. On the chest, both pleasing words and truthfulness. In the mind, the moon. On the bosom, the goddess of fortune, with a lotus flower in her hand. On the neck, all the Vedas and all sound vibrations. On the arms, all the demigods, headed by King Indra. In both ears, all the directions. On the head, the upper planetary systems. On the hair, the clouds. In the nostrils, the wind. On the eyes, the sun. And in the mouth, fire. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. On his tongue was the demigod of water, Varunadev. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles. And on his eyelids were day and night. When his eyes were open, it was daytime. When they were closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger. On his lips was greed. O King, in his touch were lusty desires. In his semen were all the waters. On his back was a religion. And in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death. In his smile was the illusory energy. And on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were all the rivers. On his nails were all the stones. In his intelligence were Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. And throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities, moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord. O King, when all the demons, the followers of Bali, saw the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc known as the Sudarshan Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all of these caused lamentation within their hearts. The Lord's kancha named Panchajanya, which made sounds like that of a cloud, the very forceful club named Kalmodiki, the sword named Vidyadhar, and a shield decorated with hundreds of moon-like spots, and also Akshayakshaya, the best of quivers. All of these appear together to offer prayers to the Lord. These associates, headed by Sunanda and other chief associates and accompanied by all the predominating deities of the various planets, offered prayers to the Lord, who wore a brilliant helmet, bracelets, and glittering earrings that resembled fish. On the Lord's bosom were the blocks of hair called Srivats, and the transcendental jewel named Kastuba. He wore a yellow garment covered by a belt, and he was decorated with a flower garland surrounded by bees. Manifesting himself in this way, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, covered the entire surface of the earth with one footstep, the sky with his body, and all directions with his arms. Prabhupada's short purport to this verse. One might argue, since Bali Maharaj promised Vamanadeva only the land occupied by his steps, why did Lord Vamanadeva occupy the sky also? In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami says that the steps include everything downward and upward. Because it's, one could say Vamanadeva cheated. He said he'd only take three steps, but his body covered everything. So it's not only the steps. We could give him the steps, but he took everything else too. But Jiva Goswami says that the steps include everything downward and upward. When one stands up, he certainly occupies certain parts of the sky and certain portions of the earth below his feet. Thus, there was nothing uncommon for the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he occupied the entire sky with his body. In other words, the Lord stood up. He stood up and raised himself up. He expanded himself upward until basically he covered the entire universe and enclosed everything in the universe with one footstep. Everything. As the Lord took his second step, because he's been promised three steps, so he covered everything with his first step. He took his second step, he covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step, for the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and even Satyaloka. Prabhupada's purport. When the Lord's footstep exceeded the height of all the lokas, all the planets, including Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka, his nails certainly pierced the covering of the universe. The universe is covered by the five material elements, Bhumira, Apo, Nilo, Vayu, Kam. As stated in the Shastra, these elements are in layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous one. Nonetheless, the nails of the Lord pierced through all these layers and made a hole penetrating into the spiritual world. From this hole, the water of the Ganges infiltrated into this material world, and therefore it is said, Padanakanira Janita Jana Pavana. That's from the Das Avatar Stotra. Because the Lord kicked a hole in the covering of the universe, the water of the Ganges came into this material world to deliver all the fallen souls. So that's the end of the 20th chapter. Let's go back and see if there's any purports we didn't read. Yeah, in text 21. This is the verse. The unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, who assumed the form of Vaman, began increasing in size, and he covered everything. Prabhupada's purport. Bali Maharaj wanted to give charity to Vamanadeva, but the Lord expanded his body in such a way that he showed Bali Maharaj that everything in the universe is already in his body. Actually, no one can give anything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is full in everything. Sometimes we see a devotee offering Ganges water to the Ganges. After taking his bath in the Ganges, a devotee takes a palmful of water and offers it back to the Ganges. Actually, when one takes a palmful of water from the Ganges does not lose anything. And similarly, if a devotee offers a palmful of water to the Ganges does not increase in any way. But by such an offering, the devotee becomes celebrated as a devotee of Mother Ganges. Similarly, when we offer anything with devotion and faith, what we offer does not belong to us. nor does it enrich the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one offers whatever he has in his possession, he becomes a recognized devotee. In this regard, the example is given that when one's face is decorated with a garland and sandalwood pulp, the reflection of one's face in a mirror automatically becomes beautiful. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is our original source also. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is decorated, the devotees and all living entities are decorated automatically. We would become beautiful if we beautify Krishna. We become satisfied if we satisfy Krishna. Just like if we water the root of the tree, the leaves become nourished. If we water the root of ourselves, Krishna, the source of ourselves, then we become nourished. And then more about what Bali Maharaj and everyone saw. They saw the Lord had expanded everything into everything in his universal form. Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Aham Savasya Prabhavo Matak Savam Pravartate. Krishna is the origin of everything. Vasudeva Savamiti. Krishna is everything. Matstani Sarvabhutani Natyaham Teshvavastita. Everything rests in the body of the Lord, yet the Lord is not everywhere. Mayavadi philosophers think that since the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, has become everything, he has no separate existence. Their philosophy is called Advaitavad. Actually, however, their philosophy is not correct. Here, Bali Maharaj was the seer of the Personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body which was seen. Thus, there is Dvaitavad. There are always two entities, the seer and the seen. The seer is the part of the whole, but he is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole, but since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This achintya bheda bhed, simultaneous oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya. Maybe we can read some of the next chapter. Next chapter is, so the Lord had expanded himself hugely to cover everything. With one step he covered everything on earth. The second step he covered the entirety of the universe, all the way up to Satyaloka, which is Brahmaloka. And his foot even went out of the universe and pierced his toe, his nail, pierced the layers of the universe, allowing the Ganges to enter. So that's the situation now. That's with two steps. Sukadev Goswami continued, when Lord Brahma, who was born in a lotus flower, saw that the effulgence of his residence, Brahmaloka, had been reduced by the glaring effulgence from the toenail of Lord Vamandev, he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the great sages, headed by Marichi, and by yogis like Sunandana. But in the presence of that glaring effulgence, O King, even Lord Brahma and his associates seemed insignificant. Among the great personalities who came to worship the lotus feet of the Lord were those who attained perfection in self-control and regulative principles, as well as experts in logic, history, general education, and the Vedic literature known as Kalpa, dealing with old historical incidents. Others were expert in the Vedic corollaries, like the Brahma Samhita. All the other knowledge of the Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva Veda, and also the supplementary Vedic knowledge, Ayurveda, Dana Veda, etc. Others were those who had been freed from the reactions of fruitive activities by transcendental knowledge, awakened by practice of yoga. And still others were those who had attained residence in Brahmaloka, not by ordinary karma, but by advanced Vedic knowledge. After devotedly worshipping the upraised lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with oblations of water, Lord Brahma, who was born of the lotus emanating from the Lord Vishnu's navel, offered prayers to the Lord. So everyone, every exalted person, regardless of the path that they had taken to become exalted, when they saw that the Lord's lotus foot was there, it was so effulgent, that it dimmed, it made seem, it lessened the appearance of everyone else's effulgence, because he was the most effulgent. He's the source of everyone's effulgence. He's the Lord. So all these exalted personalities, on beholding the Lord, they began to worship him and offer him prayers. So Brahma said, O King. Oh no, this isn't. Lord Brahma offered prayers to the Lord, but Sukadeva is speaking. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamadalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamandev, who is known as Arukram, the wonderful actor. Thus that water became so pure that it was transformed into the water of the Ganges, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying the three worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's purport. Here we understand that the Ganges began when the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamandev. But in the fifth canto, it is stated that the Ganges began when Vamandev's left foot pierced the covering of the universe so that the transcendental water of the causal ocean leaked through. And elsewhere, it is also stated that Lord Narayan appeared as the water of the Ganges. The water of the Ganges, therefore, is a combination of three transcendental waters, and thus the Ganges is able to purify the three worlds. That is the description given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So they worshipped him. He had expanded so great. Then Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamandev, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for his worship. They worshipped the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, padyan, argya, sandalwood pulp, and agaru pulp, incense lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots, and sprouts. All these auspicious elements. There's different elements, and they have a different vibration, vibrating as in the mode of goodness or passion, ignorance. When one walks near or into a pub or a bar, there's a particular ignorant, very ignorant, low vibration, or past one of those video parlors, game parlors. There's a particular low vibration that like flows out. Everything has its modes. And similarly, there are very auspicious items. Those are inauspicious, ignorant items. And these are very auspicious items, like fresh grains and banana plants like that. And so these were all fruits and roots and sprouts, lamps, incense. These are all auspicious. And when they're offered to the Lord, they become transcendental. So the whole atmosphere, due to the worship of the Lord, became wonderful and auspicious. So while offering this, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activities of the Lord, and they shouted, Jai, Jai. They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells and beat kettle drums, in this way worshipping the Lord. Jambavan, king of the bears, also joined in the ceremony. Sounding his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival for Lord Vamandev's victory. When the demoniac followers of Bali Maharaj saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions to Vamandev, who had taken them away on the plea of begging 3 paces of land, they were very angry and spoke as follows. This Vamana is certainly not a Brahmana, but the best of cheaters, Lord Vishnu. Assuming the form of a Brahmana, he has covered his own form, and thus he's working for the interests of the demigods. Our Lord Bali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the Jagya, has given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy Vishnu, dressed in the form of a Brahmachari beggar, has taken away all of his possessions. Our Lord Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially so at present, since he's been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful towards the brahmanas, and he cannot at any time speak lies. Therefore, because he has been initiated in the sacrifice, he cannot lie, he cannot rule, because he's taken a different position at the moment. Therefore, they say, it is our duty, it's not his duty, It's our duty to kill this Vamandev, Lord Vishnu. It is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demoniac followers of Bali Maharaj took up their various weapons with a view to kill, of killing Vamanadeva. O King, Sukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Prakrit, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamandev. O King, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demons coming forward in violence, they smiled. Taking up their weapons, they forbade the demons to continue their attempt. Nanda Sunanda Jai Vijay Prabal Bal Kamuda Kamudaksha Vivakshena Patatarirat Garuda Jayanta Shutadev Pushpadanta Satvata were all associates of Lord Vishnu. They were as powerful as 10,000 elephants, and now they began killing the soldiers of the demons. When Bali Maharaj saw that his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, he remembered the curse of Sukracharya and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. O Viprachitti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Don't fight. Stop immediately, for the present time is not in our favor. They conquered, and the demigods left when the time factor favored them, and now the time factor was against them. So one always has to know which way the time is going and know how to act appropriately according to the time in the service of Krishna. Bali Maharaj continued, O Daityas, by human efforts no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. The supreme time factor, which represents the supreme person, was previously in our favor and not in favor of the demigods, but now that same time factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representation of the supreme personality of Godhead by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu. But today, those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. Prabhupada's short purport. Bhagavad Gita mentions five causes of defeat or victory. Of these five, Daiva, providence, the five factors in action, is the most powerful. Natcha Daivet Param Balam. Bali Maharaj knew the secret of how he had formerly been victorious because providence was in his favor. Now, since the same providence was not in his favor, there was no possibility of his victory. Thus, he very intelligently forbade his associates to fight. Bali Maharaj continued, unless providence is in our favor, we shall not be able to gain victory. Therefore, we must wait for that favorable time when our defeating them will be possible. Sukadev Goswami continued, O King, in accordance with the orders of their master Bali Maharaj, all the chiefs of the demons and the daityas entered the lower regions of the universe to which they were driven by the soldiers of Vishnu. Thereafter, on the day of Somapan, after the sacrifice was finished, Garuda, king of the birds, understanding the desire of his master, arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. So the Lord is going to test Bali Maharaj. He's asked for 3 paces of land. He's taken everything. Now, after taking everything from him and defeating his soldiers who had sent them to the lower regions of the universe, he has him bound. The king of the universe, bound up, insulted. Prabhupada's short purport. Garuda, the constant companion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knows the confidential part of the Lord's desire. Bali Maharaj's tolerance and devotion were undoubtedly super excellent. Garuda arrested Bali Maharaj to show the entire universe the greatness of the king's tolerance. When Bali Maharaj was thus arrested by Lord Vishnu, so in one sense it appears that he, that he's insulting him, and he is insulting him, but actually he's glorifying him. The Lord is glorifying him by showing off his qualities, his exalted qualities. When Balimraj was thus arrested by Lord Vishnu, who is the most powerful, there was a great roar of lamentation in all directions throughout the upper and lower planetary systems of the universe. O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadev, then spoke to Balimraj, the most liberal and celebrated personality, whom he had arrested with the ropes of Varuna. So he's taken everything and now insulting him. And now he's going to speak to him. Balimraj had lost all his bodily luster. He took away his luster, his effulgence as well. But he was nonetheless fixed in his determination. Prabhupada's purport. When one is bereft of all his possessions, he is certainly reduced in bodily luster. But although Balimraj had lost everything, he was fixed in his determination to satisfy Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, such a person is called Stita Pragya, a pure devotee. It means fixed in knowledge. A pure devotee has never deviated from the service of the Lord, despite all difficulties and impediments offered by the illusory energy. Generally, men who have wealth and opulence are famous, but Balimraj became famous for all time by being deprived of all his possessions. This is the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead toward his devotees. The Lord says, Yasyaham anugrahami kurishya tadanam shanai. As the first installment of his special favor, the Lord takes away all the possessions of his devotee. The devotee, however, is never disturbed by such a loss. He continues his service, and the Lord amply rewards him beyond the expectations of any common man. So Balimraj took everything, bound him, stole his lust, or Vamandev took everything, bound him, stole his effulgence, and now he's going to say to him, to speak to him. And what does he say? O King of the demons, you have promised to give me 3 steps of land, but I've occupied the entire universe with 2 steps. Now think about where I should put my 3rd. As far as the sun and moon shine within the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession. Of these possessions, with 1 step I have occupied Burloka, and with my body I have occupied the entire sky in all directions. And in your presence, with my 2nd step, I have occupied the upper planetary systems. With a step, he went to the top of the universe and pierced it. Because you have unable to give charity according to your promise. You have promised 3 steps and you only have enough for 2 steps. The rule is that you should go down to live in the hellish planets. Therefore, in accordance with the order of Sukhacharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there. Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Narayana paraksave nakutaschana bibhyati svaga pavarga narakeshu apitulya tadashina. So he took away everything, insulted him, and now he says, go to hell. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. A devotee engaged in the service of Narayan is always in equilibrium. A devotee actually lives transcendentally. Although he may appear to have gone to hell or heaven, he does not live in either place. Rather, he always lives in Vaikuntha. Saganan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kaupate. Vamanadev asked Balimraj to go to the hellish planets, apparently just to show the entire universe how tolerant he was. And Balimraj did not hesitate to carry out the order. A devotee does not live alone. Of course, everyone lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because the devotee is engaged in his service, he actually does not live in any material condition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita janmahao yata tu yada sa. Thus he prays to take birth as an insignificant insect in the association of devotees. Because devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord, anyone who lives with them also lives in Vaikuntha. Far from being elevated to the heavenly planets or fulfilling one's desire, one who does not properly give a beggar what he has promised falls down to a hellish condition of life. Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you could not fulfill your promise. Therefore, because your promise was false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. The final purport in this chapter. The false prestige of thinking I am very rich and I possess such vast property is another side of material life. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no one else possesses anything. This is the real fact. Isavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatam jagat. Bali Maharaj was undoubtedly the most exalted devotee, whereas previously he had maintained a misunderstanding due to false prestige. By the supreme will of the Lord, he now had to go to the hellish planets. But because he went there by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he lived there more opulently than one could expect to live in the planets of heaven. A devotee always lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engaging in his service, and therefore he is always transcendental to hellish or heavenly residences. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Bali Maharaj Arrested by the Lord. Such an incredible pastime. Such an incredible pastime. You see how little Vamandev, because he's Krishna, is unlimited. And we see that Bali Maharaj, because he is Krishna's pure devotee, he's unlimited in the depth of his qualities of devotion and all the accompanying characteristics such as tolerance as well. And we compare that to, at least I can say to myself, if something a little bit goes wrong, then my devotion goes out the window. I become angry, this and that. But look at Bali Maharaj. And so everything went wrong. He lost everything. When one has nothing, and then one has nothing to lose. But when you have something, what to speak of so much, possessing the entire universe, then it's very hard to be renounced. It's easy to be renounced when one's a beggar. But when one has billions and billions of billions and billions or whatever, then to become fully renounced, have everything taken away, and to still remain devoted, this is really exalted devotional qualities. It's impossible without great devotional qualities. Yes, yas te bhaktir bhagavad kinshana savas kunas tatra samaste sura. So we'll see how this pastime becomes concluded and Bali Maharaj's position will be exalted still further. And we see how he reacts. So far we've just seen how Lord Vamandev has pushed him and prodded him, insulted him, taken everything from him, sent him to hell, as if taking everything wasn't enough and then insulting him, that wasn't enough. But sending him to hell. And we'll see how Bali Maharaj, the exalted devotee, will reciprocate in response. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Lord Vamandev ki jai, Bali Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.